This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night. Guest on Bent Notes is an Australian jazz singer, songwriter and painter. He's just returned to Australia after a number of years living and performing in America, including a residency at the prestigious Vibrato, Herb Alpert's grill and jazz venue in Bel Air, California. I last spoke to Greg back in 2011 upon the release of his Love Story album before he moved to America, and it's my great pleasure to welcome back to Bent Notes Greg Arthur.
Great to talk to you again, mate. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you, Greg. I'm hoping you're the same.
Yeah, I am.
Excellent. Now, back in 2011, Greg, you spoke of your joy as a young person in listening to your father's record collection of the great singers, enjoying and learning from the likes of Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole and Sarah Vaughan. Do you still have time to sit and listen?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And not just to the classics either. I listen to Gregory Porter and Diana Krall and all the contemporary people as well. It's always you can always learn something, and even if it's just perhaps, ooh, they're doing that, so I won't. So that you're doing something original. So
you've got to listen to your competition.
Oh yeah.
Do you view them as competition, or do you actually view them as part and parcel of the overall theatre of jazz?
Part and parcel of the overall theatre of jazz. I'm just writing that down. The title of my biography. That's really good. That's how I feel. I don't see any competition at all in any art form. Actually, you mentioned that I paint, and I love to paint. I loved going to galleries and looking at other people's work, and for the same reason, trying to make sure I'm doing something original. I actually detest music as a competition. I really think it's a very bad thing to do. Everybody's expressing themselves. It's an art form, and it should be accepted as such that you'll always have fans. Different people have different tastes, so I think competition in any art form is not productive.
How do you view the very many competition programs that we get on television that are people competing against each other, people who in some instances have no experience and others have had some experience? How do you view those programs?
For entertainment value, sometimes they can be good because you end up with somebody who's just going out there and having a go for the fun of it, and they've got an interesting backstory to their life. But in other ways, I find it wrong when it gets to a point where it's so competitive that you're comparing one person's style to another and saying that you're better than they are, and especially when they're being judged by people who aren't necessarily that brilliant themselves.
Is it something where you could see yourself being a judge in that type of environment?
No. Never. I would be encouraging everybody equally, and so there would be no point to the competition. I'd be a real spanner in the works on that one.
Do you teach, Greg?
No.
Is it something that you've thought about going into at some stage?
No. I'm moving around too much, and I probably don't have the patience to teach. You know, a lot of people have said to me, David, over the years, can you teach me to do what you do? And I go, well, first, I'd have to understand what it is that I do and how I do it. So End of conversation.
Fair comment. Well, let's ask a question along those lines then about what you do. We'll see if we can get part of it. I spoke with Melbourne vocalist Jackie Bornstein a couple of weeks ago now. She was talking to me about how she will look at a song and she'll sing through it and she'll read the words and she needs to find a link into that song. Otherwise, she says she just won't sing it. Even if she's asked to, she'll say that she can't sing a particular song. Are there songs that you won't sing because they don't hold any feeling for you?
Yes. For example, there's a lot of brilliant music written by Thelonious Monk, and other people have written lyrics to his music. And sometimes those lyrics are written just to fit the music rather than tell a story or be really about something. They're cool and they're beboppy and they sound spectacular because the music's so brilliant, but they actually don't tell a story, so I don't sing them. The lyrics have got to relate to something that I can relate to, an experience that I've been through, so that I can sing them honestly. And my goal with every song is to make people believe that I've written the song. Hopefully make somebody, even if they've heard the song before, understand what it's actually about.
The value of a story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you go back in the history of this sort of music, the Great American Songbook, if you like. Lorenz Hart, for instance, was a very sad figure. I mean, to read his biography, it's incredibly depressing, and he had a very difficult life. Yet he wrote, he expressed himself, he cracked his chest open and just revealed his heart and wrote the most beautiful lyrics based on his pain. And those songs are just stunning. You know, Blue Moon, My Funny Valentine, and Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered. His lyrics are just so beautiful. And I think it's because he's honest. He's honest and revealing his life in those words.
The best songs are usually written by people who are really just telling a personal story, aren't they?
Very much so. The EP I recorded in the US at Capitol Records last year is the original song on it is a tune I wrote after my 7-year relationship broke up. And, you know, it almost made the breakup worthwhile. When I don't mean that. I don't, but... Yeah, maybe I do. It depends how much money I make from the EP. I got out there and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in downtown LA drinking drinks that no human being should consume, and by myself at a bar. And I'm just thinking, this is like one of those old Nat King Cole songs or Sinatra songs from the 50s and 60s, the saloon bar song of the pathetic guy sitting at a bar. And then I thought, yep, I'm going to write all this down. So I did, and I'm very proud of it.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
On Joy 94.9, you're listening to Bent Notes, where my special guest is Australian vocalist and composer Greg Arthur. Greg, you've been talking about your latest EP and writing songs from the heart. I was watching a couple of the videos from the EP, one of them being The Last Call. It's such a beautiful video. Listening to the words and watching the images in front of you, it's such a simple premise, and yet it's got such power with it. The song itself is powerful, but when you put that video behind it, it certainly is giving a real strength of story.
Thank you. I think it's I'm biased, obviously, but I think it's a good video clip in the sense that I'm not lip syncing the song, and it's done like a movie trailer almost.
It had a very movie feel to it.
Yeah. It's just actors and great locations in downtown LA. And it's not the usual sort of music clip that you see.
Now, most music clips are rather brash and bold and over the top. This one's just beautiful. I think that's
thank you.
That's the best word for it I can find.
Thank you.
Is part of that beautifulness of that particular clip, does that get back to the acting classes you took a number of years ago?
Oh, you're good. You've done your research. Yes, it is. It's very much so. But that's I took acting lessons when my voice broke when I was a kid. And I had to take like a year. No singing for a year. Go to acting school. It'll make you a better singer. It'll make you learn how to own the stage, because if you can recite Shakespeare and be involved in plays, then it'll make you a better singer. You'll be able to tell the stories better that are in the songs, and it'll make you pay attention to the lyrics more.
Did you believe at the time that that was going to be the case?
I don't know. I was just a dumb kid. I just did what people told me to do. I didn't have any great insight on anything or any grand plans. I just like, but you know, there's so many artists that you might not necessarily have one of their albums, but when you watch them live performing a song, Paul Capsis, for instance. I don't know if you've seen Paul live. He did a lot of musicals and plays and
yes.
everything, but he also just stands up with a quartet and does like a cabaret thing. And the guy is brilliant at telling a story in a song because he's such a great actor. The same could be said for maybe Liza Minnelli. I don't know anybody has one of her albums. My parents didn't, but everybody knew her from all the musicals and cabaret and things like that. So certain artists are just brilliant actors. Sinatra was a great actor. Just watch Von Ryan's Express. He's fantastic in that. He was a very good actor.
And there's certainly a touch of Sinatra in your presentation too.
You think so?
I reckon so. I think the for what I've seen, and I haven't had the privilege of seeing you live yet, but in terms of the videos I've seen and listened to the albums, there's just that, I think that it's a little bit of that intimacy there that is reflective a little bit of some of Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I'm not Tom Berlinson, you know. This is Greg Arthur.
That's right.
Okay.
Tom is a different singer again.
Yeah.
Mm.
He puts on a great show, that Sinatra show. It's fantastic, with the Ralph Pyle Big Band.
Yes.
Amazing show. Well, thank you. I try to keep well away from being anything like anybody. I work very hard at that. But I guess in the structure of the songs that I'm singing, obviously, a lot of them, except my original songs, have been done by Frank. I mean, he sang every song ever written, including stuff from the Beatles and things that he maybe shouldn't have recorded. But it's I'll take that as a compliment, because the intimacy, as you say, that's part of this style of music. It was actually invented by Bing Crosby. He was the first guy not to yell at a microphone that was about a meter away from his face. He was the first guy to take that microphone and hold it up really close to his mouth and sort of whisper and croon. And Bob Hope called him the groaner.
it does give you such... It draws, as a listener, it draws you in to the song because you're not pulling yourself back because someone's shouting at you. You're coming in because someone's being so intimate in their conversation that you just want to get into that conversation.
Very much so. Very much so. In this style of music, I try to pretend the imagery I have when I'm on stage is that I'm using the microphone like I'm dancing with somebody and singing in their ear.
That's certainly how it comes across. And I watched the Lady in Red video as well, and it's different to the Last Call video, but it is
very much
just as beautiful and just as engaging. a song about the lady in red, and here you are painting, literally painting with oils, this lady in red. By the end of the video, you have it completed. It's such a beautiful painting in itself, and yet I would not have thought of a music video being someone standing there painting. Where did the idea come from for you to actually do it in that style?
Well, I love to paint for myself and for my friends. It's how I unwind. And one of my very dear friends is a comedian and actor named Brad Garrett. He's you would know him as Robert from Everybody Loves Raymond. He's very tall.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. So Brad loves my paintings, and he's actually got quite a lot. He's got a club in Las Vegas in the MGM Grand, the Brad Garrett Comedy Club. And up on the walls around the room, some of my drawings and paintings right next to brilliant artists like Hirschfeld and everything. It's very flattering. But oh. Brad loves my work. It was the trumpet player Chris Bodie who suggested that I should sing a jazz orchestral version of Lady in Red and do it in my own style. He said he'd like to hear it, and I was like, wow, that's an interesting idea. And then Brad Garrett said, yeah, I'd like to hear that song about the hooker in red. And I said, what do you mean the hooker? And he said, well, that's what the song's about. It's about the hooker in red. You know, and he's going to, never seen you looking so lovely as you did tonight. And I was just like, it put it in a whole new perspective for me. So then I thought.
And you thought you knew the song.
So then he said, you should do a painting of a streetwalker. And I was like, you know, somewhere along the line, that makes sense. I mean, he's just kidding around. He's always kidding around. Very funny man. But that's where that came from. And I thought, I'll film myself over, I think it was 3 days. You wouldn't have liked it, David, because I kept wearing the same shirt, so I had consistency in the thing. I didn't smell good. And I just filmed it from different angles as the painting progressed. And if it didn't work, then I'd start again. You know, that was the plan. But it did work, and it came out well. And so that's what that's of, is this lady of the night standing somewhere in Paris. I kind of made up the scene in my head, but she's out and she's very beautiful and wearing a red dress, and that's where that came from, and edited it all together to fit to the length of the song. So thank you for watching that. I mean, you know, nobody watches music clips by jazz music.
There's obviously some gems out there, including at least those two of yours.
Oh, they're all on YouTube. I mean, they can watch them anytime on YouTube. It's easy.
A great tool is YouTube.
It is. Mm. I've actually, you know, I've got some gigs coming up, and a lot of the people that have booked have all booked because they've not heard of me. I've been away in the US for quite a while, but they haven't heard of me, so they've looked up on YouTube. That's what they do, and they watch some music clips and. And then they book a ticket. And it's nice when they tell me that, because it's nice to know where they've come from.
It is indeed. I'm looking forward to seeing you in March, because that's around about my birthday time then. So I'm looking forward to seeing you live. And we should mention that you have a number of shows coming along as part of the Last Call tour. You've already kicked it off, in fact, back in late January here in Melbourne at the Jazz Lab. And coming up, you've got a Sydney show on the 14th.
That's right, at Camelot Lounge.
Yes, down here in Melbourne, you've got the 24th of February at the Jazz Lab again. 3rd of March, you're back to Sydney in the Foundry, and then the 16th and 17th of March, you're down here in the Paris Cat for 2 nights in a row. So that's one of those shows I'm going to get to and look forward to that. And who have you got playing with your band?
Oh, the wonderful Peter Locke on piano. He is a brilliant musician and a great accompanist, and that's... It's a difficult thing to find. There's a lot of solo players that are fantastic, and I go and watch them. But to have that symbiotic thing happening, where the piano is supporting the vocal perfectly, that's a rare find. And he can do both things: a solo pianist and accompanist and arranger. He's quite wonderful. Craig Scott is one of the great educators and brilliant bass players in Australia. He's the chair of jazz studies at the Sydney Conservatorium and one of my best friends. And he's on bass. And two young guns, Tim Geldens on the drums and Michael Evgenikos on the tenor saxophone.
Good to see the young guys coming into the fray.
Yeah, well, we've got a mix. And the interesting thing is Craig was actually their teacher at the conservatorium. And now we're touring together. And they're giants. They're absolute giants, these two guys. And it's good to have a mix on stage. Sometimes with, particularly with jazz, you see they're all really young guys or they're all really old guys.
Yes, you do usually.
Very rarely. Yeah. Or they're all, you know, similar age groups, middle-aged guys that have paid their dues and know what they're doing, but they very rarely mix, and I love to mix it up. It keeps everybody on their toes, you know.
It does indeed. Good for everybody.
It is, yeah. It's good for the audience too.
For more information about Greg, the website is Greg Arthur. Now, it's Greg with a double G, G-R-E-double-G, so gregarthur.com. There's also a page on Facebook. You can search for Greg Arthur Music there. And, of course, information about the shows and the tickets can be obtained from the websites of the clubs, being Jazz Club, jazzlab.club and pariscat.com.au. Greg, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to chat with me here on Bent Notes. I really do appreciate your time.
Well, I look forward to seeing you at Pariscat and raising the wrist for your birthday.
Thank you so much, Greg. I look forward to that as well. Please do drop and see us here in Bent Notes in the studio sometime when you're in Melbourne in the near future. It would be great to have you in studio.
That'd be great fun. Yeah,
fantastic.
Let's do that.
Let's go out now with a track. In fact, let's go out with your track from the EP Last Call, a piece called Last Call. My guest on Bent Notes tonight has been Australian vocalist and composer Greg Arthur.
It's so late that it's almost early, and I'm not feeling sane. Caught up in a memory of you, and I'm drinking again. Last call, order anything at all. Here's to you. And yesterday, I'm still in love. You can come along and see. I'm drinking alone, but don't worry about me. My love, if you think of me at all, try to recall that every day I try to love you. Last call, one more drink to drown it all.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.